Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thanks again for hanging out with me. Listen, guys, you already know before I start every single show, I always like to take a few moments to give God some thanks because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening or watching is encouraged, inspired, and motivated to not only learn more and do more, but to become more and to be able to take the nuggets that we're going to drop on today's show and apply them to your lives. So I pray that in Jesus' name, and I thank you, like always, just for hanging out with me and taking some time out of your day to hang out with me. But listen, guys, as you know, every single episode when I bring on a guest, I always bring nothing but the fire, man. You guys already know this. And today is no different. Today's guest, he's often known as the coach, the mentor, the guy who makes it happen. And he's also a South Bronx native, just like your boy. So we already had an immediate connection when we met. But listen, this guy went from being an intern at Bad Boy Entertainment, where he quickly rose through the ranks to vice president of marketing and promotions. And for those of you, by now, probably everybody knows Bad Boy Entertainment. But for those of you that are listening who may not know, I know that you know who Puff Daddy is, P. Diddy, Sean Combs. He founded the record label. So our guest today rose through the ranks to become the vice president of marketing and promotion. But he's not one to bask in his accomplishments. So our guest today had an opportunity for growth. And as an entrepreneur at heart, he bet on himself and followed his dreams. Leveraging his innate understanding of core marketing, brand fundamentals, and creativity, he launched Power Moves Incorporated, PMI for short. As a marketing and promotions company, Sean Combs Enterprise secured PMI as the promotional arm for all marketing and advertising endeavors and other companies, other corporate conglomerates such as Viacom, HBO, McDonald's, and Estee Lauder followed suit. PMI was also responsible for highly successful political marketing campaigns like Vote or Die. I'm pretty sure you heard of that. It's going to be coming out again probably in the next elections that positioned the agency, particularly our guest today, as a highly sought after asset during election years. With an established reputation as an industry trailblazer, today's guest, guys, once again solidified himself as a pioneer in pop culture, founding Global Spin Awards that's aired on Revolt TV. The award show is often referred to as the Grammys for DJs, globally celebrated by artists and industry heavyweights. Listen, today's guest accomplishments have earned him the reputation as a marketing expert, often called upon by CNN, Fox News, and amongst others to render marketing analysis. And really a motivator, just like I am, again, another connection. Today's guest pivots once more to aggressively pursue his passion to inspire and coach, drawing on both personal and professional experiences. Today's guest shares his wisdom in hopes of guiding those seeking to fulfill their purpose and potential to make power moves. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, my boy, my brother, Sean Prez, man, welcome to the I Won't Stop Until I Win podcast, man. How you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing great, and especially after hearing that intro, I need to hire you. Like, whenever I walk in the room, I just need to bring Jose with me. Like, you got me amped.
You know, man, like I was saying before, I normally don't read those lengthy type of bios. I try to condense them, but, man, I thought it was such, man, you have so many accolades, and you've accomplished so much, man, in such a short period of time that I felt that it was worthy to let everybody know, man, how much you've done and how much you continue to do, not only for yourself and your family, but all those that follow you, all those that know that you're a pure at heart individual. That's one of the things that for me personally, I'm always trying to connect with those type of individuals. And I know we just recently got introduced not too long ago and we spoke, but I could just feel it, you know, real, recognized real. And I just felt your authenticity, your transparency, and your genuineness, which is why I just reached out to you, man, to have you on the show, man. So how you feeling,
thanks,
man?
Thanks so much for having me. Thank you so much.
That's awesome, man. Well, let's go back, man. I always like to go back because a lot of the guests that I bring on the show, they are heavy hitters for the most part. But, you know, a lot of times we see these people that are, you know, sometimes people place them on pedestals and they're like, man, they're so big and they've accomplished so much. They're so successful. And but they don't know that everybody who got to the top started at the bottom, right?
Right. That's right.
So take us back to before, you know, when you were interning at Bad Boy, how you got that, how that came about, and how you worked your way up, man.
Well, you know, and I love your perspective and how you want to bring guests on and show the people that, you know, we're just human beings, all of us.
That's right.
And that's a message I try to convey, you know, in my speaking, in my day-to-day journey when I'm mentoring and just speaking to people. You know, it's cliche to say, but, you know, when we're like, oh, well, we're no different than you. But the point of the matter is, I don't care who's listening, where you're at in your journey, you have the ability to do something great, something that will motivate and inspire the next generation. It really is just about focus and discipline and making a decision that you know, I'm going to really go out there and commit to doing something great. And, you know, to answer your question in particular, Jose, for me, getting in the door Bad Boy was, that was the prize. We talk about intern. Bad Boy was my fifth internship.
Wow.
I wanted to be in the music industry so bad, but I felt unhirable because I was taking these internships and, you know, we're now in 2020. People are paid for taking internships. Back when I was taking the internships in the early 90s, it was unpaid. So you had to pay for your lunch. You had to pay for, at that time in New York City, there was tokens to get on the train. There was no pass and all of that stuff. So, you know, if you're unpaid, where do you get the money from? So I had to literally intern, then get off and hustle or work a part-time job, do whatever I had to do. But I was so focused on getting in my foot in the door. So for the better part of 3 to 4 years, I interned literally for free.
Wow.
At 4 different record labels. And finally, I was about to quit. I was like, you know, I cannot get a job. Like, no one is willing to pay me for something that I'm doing for free. I've been, you know, so it makes you doubt yourself. It makes you question yourself. And finally, I'll never forget this story. I was, a good friend of mine called me. He said, you know, Sean, I had, Puff is starting his record label. They're looking for interns down there. And by that time I was working a full-time job. I was like, you know, I can't do it again. Like, this is crazy.
You were drained out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had taken 4 internships. Like, just think of 11 months in internship. Another 7 months in internship, another 12 months in internship. Like, after a while, you start to.
And nothing is happening.
Your own ability. And nothing's happening. Nobody will hire you.
Yeah, man. And,
I took a day off, and I'll never forget this. I called in sick, took a day off from my paying job. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go and see what this is about. And Puff was just getting that label off the ground. He was in a very small office. And I went down to Bad Boy. It was then on 19th Street. And I walked in, and I swear to you, Jose, it was, you ever see those moments in the movies where the ray of light comes and it's like, like it felt like I had arrived. It felt like this is what I have been searching for. And I literally went in, I worked the first day, and I called my job and was like, I quit. Like, I knew that this is what God was prepping me for all along. Mm. So I bet on myself again. And I interned at Bad Boy for 11 months. And finally, they gave me a full-time job.
That's awesome, man. And, you know, again, you know, you came, this is why I love these type of stories, man. And this is why the podcast is called I Won't Stop Until I Win, because there was a point where you wanted to give up, that you were right there on the verge of giving up and saying, hey, I can't do this anymore. But something inside of you, man, deep down, I know your boy called you about this opportunity, but I know that there was something deep down inside of you that was like, I can't stop until I win. Let me give this one more shot.
Yep. And that's exactly what it was.
And, you know, that's powerful because, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of times people, they have a passion to do something. You said you wanted so badly to get into the music industry, and they have a passion to do whatever that may look like for them. And they try and they try and they try. And then they get to a point where they're like, okay, like you said, no one is willing to hire me. I felt unhireable. And I relate to that, man, because that was the same type of thing with my story. And I know so many people listening out here is relatable to them as well, because it's like, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you try and try again. But after so many tries, we're human. We just get worn out. We get drained out. And we're like, man, I don't even feel like I can go anymore. And that's where at that very moment, man, that's where dreams die. Because
correct.
When you give up, that's when your dream is no longer operable. But when you still have even if it's a little ounce, a little droplet of passion left, of willingness and grit left, that you still have the magic inside of you to make that happen. And that's what you did, man. So you became the vice president of marketing. How long were you involved with that?
Well, and this is where, for anyone listening, you got to understand, as long as you, there's no experience that's ever wasted. It just isn't. When I couldn't get hired on those four previous internships, I was working my butt off. And what I didn't realize at the time, I was acquiring a skill set. Even though I wasn't being paid for it, I was acquiring a skill set over the years. So when I finally got to Bad Boy, and Bad Boy was still in its infancy, you know, I came in and I had a mentality, number one, you know, I had doors shut in my face for years. So I was not effing up this opportunity. And I was on, while everybody else was working, you know, at 90%, I was working at 150%. I was the first one in the office. I was the last one to leave. I just came in with a mentality of like, I'm finally here. I'm finally in the door. This is going to be the thing that changes my life. But I rose up the ranks relatively quick because I was prepared for it. God prepared me all of those years that I looked at it as though I was unhireable. I looked at it as something was wrong with me. I looked at it as, damn, like, you know, this industry that I love so much, nobody will give me a shot. God was giving me a shot. He was placing me in these positions and I was learning. I wasn't being paid for it, but I was learning. And when I got to Bad Boy, I came in with this wealth of experience and I came in with this work ethic that you know, really matched the upper echelon of the company, who was Sean Diddy Combs. And, you know, I want to say, I went from intern to coordinator within 11 months, from coordinator to director, I think within another, at best, 11 months. And I was VP of marketing and promotion maybe 3 years after I started. So after I got my check. So it was a very fast rise within that system.
So in other words, you went from intern to incredible in a short minute.
But yeah, this way, it took me years to get there, but once I got in the system, I rose quick.
That's amazing, man. And you know, Bad Boy, that's one of the record labels. That's like a prestigious, one of the most prestigious record labels that were out there at that time in the early 90s and all through the 90s, man, with heavy hitter artists such as, you know, Biggie Smalls, The Lox, Lil Kim, Black Rob. I mean, icons in the industry nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Many top fives that are alive come from Bad Boy. You know what I'm saying? So that's an amazing accolade, man. So even when you did that though, man, I know that there was something inside of you that said, there gotta be more. So you kept on pushing, you kept on grinding, and you started PMI, right?
Yep.
What made you wanna start that?
It's a good question. I'll go back to my childhood. The core me, who I am on the inside, I'm an entrepreneur. Always been since I've been a little boy. My mom, you know, she was a hustler from day one. You know, we were up on, you're from the Bronx. So for anybody who doesn't know, there's this main shopping strip and avenue called Fordham Road in the Bronx. So my mother would take us downtown to buy boxes of socks and boxes of t-shirts, and me and my brothers would lug them up to Fordham Road, and we'd be out there selling socks for $5, packs of socks for $5, different things like that. My father, he never worked for anybody. He was a plumber by trade, always worked for himself. And for me, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur, always, in my heart of hearts. So even when I went to Bad Boy, and when I wanted to get into the music industry so bad, I never lost sight of who I was. And again, this is where you have to trust your journey, because you have to trust God, because God puts us on these paths that you're not going to see it clearly until you look backwards and you're like, oh, now the dots, I can see how the dots connected. I never knew what I wanted to be. I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur my entire life. I just didn't know in what. Like, you know, was I going to open a retail store? Was I going to start a service business? I just had no idea. But through my years in the music industry, I started to hone these skills as a marketer. Like, you know, something that was always in me, because I'm the kind of person, I can look at, you know, any object, a pen, and I can think to myself, you know, it's just who I am innately. I can think to myself, damn, you know, if they just marketed it this way, they could sell 1 million pens. That's who I am. Yeah. So when I was in the music industry pushing records and coming up with these ingenious ways to market the records, it was a skill set I acquired. And when I finally started to rise to the top within the music industry and within Bad Boy Records in particular, that instinct came back. Sean, this was only part of your story. Mm. You know, it's time for you to move on. So that entrepreneurial thing came back. And by that time, I was known as this world-class marketer. Yeah. So all of the principles of marketing that I learned, and now I have this amazing case study of, you know, working with Notorious B.I.G., Sean Diddy Combs, Mace, and all of these other great acts. I was able to take that case study, move it into my own company, and say, look, if I can make these guys multimillionaires and sell millions of albums, imagine what I can do for your product. Mm. So I transitioned out, and that was the birth of Power Moves, Inc., marketing and promotion.
I love it, man. I love it. That's so awesome, man. Now, yeah, there's so much I want to dig into with that, man, because I believe your story is incredible. And these are the type of stories that I personally love, because I love hearing, you know, from the bottom up, because even me with my condition, you know, people, I felt like I was unhirable. I felt like I was unworthy of charging, you know, thousands of dollars to be able to be paid to come speak at an organization or an event or something like that. And our mind plays, you know, our mind plays tricks on it. And it happens to everybody. That's why I think everybody loves these type of stories, because they want to relate to someone that it was in the same position that they may currently be in, and figure out how they went and got over it so that they can apply those principles and get over whatever they're going through. So that's why I love these type of stories. So you start, and man, you mentioned Fordham Road, man, and you were selling the $5 socks, man. Man, just real quick on a side note before we jump into the next topic. I remember one time of being on Fordham. And listen, guys, for those of you that are listening, Fordham Road is, like you said, it's a very popular strip, and there's so many hustlers selling so many different things out there in the streets. And I remember one time this guy, it was hot in the middle of the summer, man, and this one guy, he had his little cooler. He was pulling his little cooler, and he was like, ice cold water, you know, for a dollar, and he was selling it. But then he said something, I was like, man, you got some ice cold water? And he was like, yeah, man, straight off the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, man. I give it to you right now. So I was like, man, that dude was, I bought 5 waters off him just because he made me laugh, and it was so creative, man. But man, big up to the Fordham Road people that came through that hustle, because I know that that's not an easy thing either, man. But so now you did the Bad Boy thing, you started PMI, working with all these major conglomerate companies, making, you know, doing your thing. How has that been satisfying to you? What was like one of your most memorable moments, or what was one company, if you can mention it, that you really saw some good breakthrough happening?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, we've worked with so many companies over the years, everything from Pepsi Cola to ESPN. You know, we are the marketing and promotional arm for everything that Sean Combs does. So whether it's Sean John, Ciroc Vodka, so there's so many for me to choose from. But if I had to narrow down one, I'm going to go with something that is fairly recent. I'll never forget, and I tell this story all the time because I just think people can learn from it, and I think it's such an inspiring story. About 2008, you know, Puff just signed his deal with Diageo, and we were about to launch Ciroc Vodka. And, you know us people as of color, we like dark liquor. We're not necessarily white liquor. So him, you know, taking on a white liquor, it wasn't necessarily in line with his consumer base, because most people, you know, they love their Hennessy, they love their rum, they love darks. So I remember him calling me from his Miami mansion, and it was like 5 a.m. and we're brainstorming. And I remember his exact words. He's up, it's still dark outside. He was like, "Prez, I need you to put on that brilliant marketing hat of yours. And you got to come up with something special, because if this Ciroc thing blows, it will change all of our lives." And I sat and I pondered and I thought, and I was like, you know what, let me get back to you. And I really wanted to get with my team over at Palmu's Inc. and go in the war room and think of something that could be special. How can we take a liquor that no one had ever heard of? Now, let's think about this. Ciroc is spelled C-I-R-O-C. Phonetically, you don't even know how to pronounce that. It's like Ciroc, like people, when we were handing in a bottle, people were like, "What? Like, I don't know how to say this word. Like, how, is it Ciroc?" Like, nobody knew. So I had to really think of something that was out of the box. And what occurred to me was, Sean, you don't have to go so far from your base. You have years and years and years of working with the DJs. Now, let's think about that. What's the connection between DJs and liquor? On the surface, it's nothing. But if you go under the surface, it's everything. DJs, number one, where they spend? They're in the clubs. What do people do in the clubs? They drink all night and dance and have a good time. When DJs are not in the club, they're on the radio. They're doing their mixes. They're cracking that mic, you know, talking about the new music and then talking about where they were spending last night. So we came up with this program that at the time was kind of unheard of. I put together some of the biggest DJs around the country, and we named them the Ciroc Boys. Mm-hmm. And we had these DJs in the club, like all of these DJs were in the club 4 to 6 nights a week. And when I tell you, they would go and they would be partying some of the biggest parties with some of the most influential people, and they would get on the microphone and tell everybody, "Grey Goose is dead. Come to the DJ booth. I got drink tickets for Ciroc. Ciroc is where it's at. This is going to be the lick. If you down with me, then you need to be down with Ciroc." And then when they would get up to the radio stations and do their mix shows, and they would host like their time slots, they would be talking about what a good time they had last night, and everybody was drinking Ciroc. And after a while, it caught on like wildfire.
Yes,
and you started to see average people, "I'm a Ciroc boy, I'm a Ciroc girl." And it was that organic word of mouth that took Ciroc Vodka from, at that time, 40,000 cases to well over 2.5 million cases. And that was just, obviously, there was a bigger marketing push at hand, but it was that program that lended the credibility and authenticity from the streets, from people, you know, who the consumers trusted. And you know, they rock with these DJs. And because these DJs were saying, you know, I'm now a Ciroc boy. I'm messing with this Ciroc. All of their fans, all of their constituents, all of the people who listen to them day in and day out, they left Grey Goose alone and adopted Ciroc.
Yeah, and that's true because, you know, and that is genius, man, thinking about how you could grab those DJs because that's where most of the liquor is consumed in the clubs and people have and associated with having a good time. That it's just a ripple effect just took place. The ripple effect took place and it just caught on fire. That's dope, man. That's dope. So now mentioning the DJs, you know, now I want to transition into the Global Spin Awards. So now you mentioned them. So how did, you know, what made you want to found or start the Global Spin Awards and how was that whole process?
Global Spin Awards was founded. It was simple and it's crazy. I'll tell you the story and then I want to go back and mention something. But Global Spin, I built my career breaking records, getting records on radio. I'm not a studio guy. So a lot of times when people think of the music industry, they think of the people who are sitting in the studio all night making records. That ain't Sean Prez. I need to be outdoors. The way my brain works, I'm wired to think of marketing and I'm a make it happen type guy. So once Puff and shout out to Harv Pierre, who was the president of the label at the time. Once they would go in the studio, make these records, they would hand them off to us. And we were responsible for breaking the records, for making the records hot on the street, getting the records on radio, moving them up on the Billboard charts, so forth and so on. So working with the DJs has been part of my career. They've been part of my life since the 90s, you know, early 90s. My best friend who got me into the music industry, we spent countless hours in his basement because he was just a local DJ doing mixtapes, and me and him would throw parties long before I ever got a full-time job in the industry. So I have this affinity with DJing that just comes from just growing up in the Bronx. But that said, I noticed this white space. I noticed this void. I noticed that there was an opening in the marketplace where everybody had an award ceremony that recognized them. You know, if you were a recording artist, you had the Grammys. If you are an actor, you had the Oscars. If you were a writer and producer, you had, you know, the ASCAP Award and BMI and SAG. So every area of creativity, there was an award show to recognize you, except one area, which was the guys who were on the front line of breaking records. That's right. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, these guys are really responsible for breaking so many of the artists who go up. And, you know, you watch the Grammys every year and, you know, all of the artists will say the same thing. Oh, I just want to thank, you know, first and foremost, I want to thank God and I want to thank the Recording Academy and I want to thank this person and that person. You know who they never thank? They don't thank the DJs.
That's true.
Never, not one of them ever thank, yo, thank that DJ who took a chance on me and played my record or went to the club when nobody knew this record and put it on. So I was like, there's this opening. I want to create the Grammys for the DJs. And when I did it, you know, it was an uphill battle. Don't get me wrong. Like, it wasn't like I did it in the first year. It was this massive success because I'd be lying. But when I did it, I saw the outpouring of love from the community, this DJ community and the people who loved them and the artists. Like, look, you know, what you're doing, it's needed. What you're doing, we love it and we want to support it. So it took me many years to really get it up there. But, you know, I started it because number one, I have this affinity for the DJ community and I thought that they were like me. They were unrecognized and they were underserved in so many ways. And more important, you know, these were the guys who had helped make me successful. So I wanted to do something to give back to them.
That's dope, man. That's dope. Little side fun fact about me. When I was 15, I got my first DJ equipment, and I started DJing when I was 15. Then I traded that in, started producing music. Then I started rhyming and had a little group. So little fun fact. But yeah, man, shout out to all the DJs out there, man, making it happen and letting everybody have a good time.
You want to hear one crazy thing? I found a notebook that I had from maybe like 99, 2000. And in it, I wrote a DJ Awards because I wrote that we need to do a DJ Award. I completely forgot about that. I thought in 2010, when we created the Global Spin Awards, that's when I got that brilliant idea. I didn't realize I actually had it going back, you know, to the late 90s. So it just was interesting.
Well, what happened was when you wrote that down, your subconscious mind took a hold of that.
There you go.
And it stored it for 2010. Then it brought it back to the forefront. And that's what happens. A lot of times, you know, we have two types of consciousness. We have our conscious mind, which is going on right now. We're thinking about right now. Then we have our subconscious mind. That's like the memory bank that stores all the information. This is like a sponge that just soaks everything up and it brings it back up to the forefront right at the right time. And, you know, what I wanted to mention too, for everybody listening out there, you know, Sean, you went through four different internships, and it wasn't until that fifth one, right? That fifth one that everything happened for you, and it couldn't have happened at a more perfect time, right? At the infant stages of a massive record label that would go on to breaking so many records and being so influential in the culture, that was God's timing just for you. You thought that, like, man, ain't nothing happening, but God was working behind the scenes, you know, and orchestrating everything, putting everything into place, letting you go through those experiences. Like you said, no experience is wasted for such a time as that, to where you were going to be the most effective and you were going to be able to grow quickly and rapidly with the skills and the experience that you already had and be recognized. Because what I wanted to mention too, while you were telling your story, is that I wanted to go back to this real quick, is that a proper work ethic will never go unnoticed.
I love that. And it's so true, Jose. It's so true.
And that's what you had. And that's what was able to. And see, listen, guys, a lot of times, you know, he said he went in early. First one in, last one out. Working hard, going home, thinking, being creative. It's like, you know, being successful is something that never stops. You never arrive at success because there's always something bigger, always something more creative, always something more influential that you can be doing. And I'm speaking to myself even right now as I'm saying this, because sometimes we get stuck in our own heads. Even right now through this whole coronavirus, there's two types of people, those that are Netflixing and chilling and those that are increasing their work ethic and studying, researching and learning and becoming more, right? And those are the two types of people that's going to emerge from this whole situation. So going from the DJing now, I want to just touch on, because now you have a nice thing that I'm excited to be a part of very soon. You have the Power Moves program that you do. It's like a show you recorded, and you bring on some very influential people, people sort of like, kind of like I bring, people that have won, that are winning, you know, that they know how to go through the grind and the struggle and overcome adversity. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you see the shirt I'm wearing, it's Power Move Makers. You know, Jose, and I'm sure you can understand what I'm about to say. I came up in the South Bronx in the 80s. And for anybody who, you know, you're listening to this around the world, I really would urge you to go and look at old film footage and photos of the South Bronx in the 80s. It really looked like a third world country. It looked like, you know, Beirut or you know, Syria or one of these countries that had just been bombed, you know, beyond belief.
Abandoned buildings.
It was abandoned. Every building was burned down. Like literally every building was burned down. As a child, you could probably remember, we used to play baseball and football in abandoned lots, like running over, you know, bricks and debris and all of that stuff, because the Bronx, it didn't have funding.
It little junkyards.
It was like little junkyards, if you will. So that was my childhood. But like I told you, I always I wanted to be an entrepreneur from day one. I always knew that in my heart. Even, but you know, in the 80s, it wasn't fashionable. Everything was about go to school, get a job. We as kids were taught to conform. You know, a real man works hard. He puts in his 8 hours a day, overtime where he can get it. He takes care of his wife and his kids, and he gets old and dies. And that's what you were judged on. But for me, who looked at my circumstances and understanding that this can't be it, like a better life for me can't be moving from the South Bronx to uptown in the Bronx where there were houses, you know, and stuff like that. Like, damn, I'm still in the Bronx. I'm just in a better part of the Bronx, you know, because that's what everybody would do. They would do a little better for themselves and move uptown.
Yeah, yeah.
but it's like, yo, you're still in the Bronx, man.
That's
but
right.
I wanted something more, and I wanted something that my family had never seen before. I wanted a success in a bank account that was unfamiliar to anybody I had ever met. And I say this all the time, and I mean it in the most respectful way. You know, coming up at that time, there were just no good role models for me, especially wanting to be an entrepreneur. And I don't, you know, yes, coming up in the 80s, that is Reaganomics. That is the crack era, right? That is when everybody and their mother was hustling. But I'm not just talking about the drug dealers. I'm talking about, for me, wanting to be an entrepreneur, nobody was a successful entrepreneur. There was no internet. There was no Sean and Jose having a virtual conversation about business and inspiration. That didn't exist back in those days. So although it was this thing in my heart, I didn't have any mentors. I didn't have anybody I could even have a deep dive discussion, because it was so far out of the reach of their own imagination, because they were just working to survive. They were literally working to pay bills. And I was like, this can't be my future. So as I have become more successful, you know, like most of us who have good hearts and good intentions, you get to a certain age where you just, you know, what's life really about? It's about giving back. It's about providing education to people who are seeking knowledge and wisdom. And for me, I started to look and think about Sean at 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old. And I wanted this information. I just couldn't find it. And then, you know, there was nobody who looked like me, same skin color, came from the environment that I came from, or similar environment, that could say, you know what, there's a way out. You know, you can actually do better. And then there weren't people like me who worked. You know, I was getting knocked down from these internships. And like I said, I went back to regular jobs, and I know what it is to be sitting in a freaking cubicle, pissed, you know, working a job every day, and I hate it. And I'm just like, yo, I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. I can do more. But, you know, you don't know where to turn, where to start. Like, what do I do to get out of this? So I created this Power Move Maker series, where I sit and I have these in-depth discussions with people like yourself and people who I am inspired by, and people who motivate me, and people who have done incredible things with their life. And I allow them to tell their story, and we extract gems, and we extract the wisdom through their story, in hope that it touches somebody out there who's literally sitting and saying to themselves, I know the situation I'm in now, but I dream of so much more, and I just don't know how I'm going to get there. And even if we could just provide a nugget, even if we could just provide some little drop of positivity or motivation for them, then I feel like people like yourself or me, we've done our job. And this is really just about giving back. And you know, it's funny, because when I'm sitting and I'm interviewing and I'm talking to people on a, or I'm speaking in front of large crowds, I always think of me, you know, as a teenager. And, you know, I was just lost. I just didn't know. I knew I wanted more. I just didn't know how I was ever going to achieve it. So those are the people I try to speak to. And that's what this whole Power Move Maker series is all about.
Man, I love it, man. And you dropped so much gems and information in that little period right there. You know, for those of you that are listening, I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're grabbing or taking some mental notes and using this information to apply to your own lives, using it as inspiration, motivation, encouragement, whatever you need it to be at this moment. I hope you're using that to make moves in your own life, right? No pun intended, right? But Sean Perez, make moves. But seriously, to make moves in your own lives, because as he mentioned, man, look at the story, look at his story and what he's gone through, how he grew up and everything he had to go through, all the doors getting slammed and all the no's and all the frustration and all the overwhelmingness and all the thoughts of giving up. And here he is today, a successful entrepreneur, touching the lives of millions of people through his skill sets. Now in a position where he wants to inspire and motivate and give back and starting these Power Move Maker shows, all across, interviewing people from all across the world who are just making moves. And like you said, man, in the beginning, we're all human. We're all human. We all go through similar challenges, we're all going to face challenges and adversity and struggles, but it's how you handle them that's going to determine what the success of your life looks like at the end of the day. So that's just a powerful thing, man. Sean, before we get out of here, I always like to ask my guests this final question. You know, for that person that's listening right now, they're feeling the episode, they're resonating with your story and they're feeling it. But they also have that feeling that you and I have probably had more than once of giving up on their own dreams right now. What would you tell that one person that's listening right now? What piece of advice, what piece of encouragement, what piece of motivation would you give them to keep on going and not stop until they win?
I love the question. And I was going to add something, and you just set me up with the layup. So this allows me to say what I wanted to say. Guys, look at my story, right? And I say this very humbly. I've had a level of success in my life. And like Jose said earlier, you never feel like you arrived. You never feel like I'm there. So as an entrepreneur or as somebody who is a success seeker, you know, every time you hit one goal, you start immediately looking at the next goal and the next goal. So look at me. I have had a level of success in the music and entertainment industry. I've had a level of success as an entrepreneur with my marketing and promotions agency. I created the Grammys for the DJs. And now I'm segueing into public speaking and I'm segueing into this whole Power Move Maker series. You know what I feel like? I feel like an intern. I feel like a guy who is starting over again. But I love it. And as many, you know, if it was up to me, I would be speaking 7 days a week. I would be standing in front of large audiences 7 days a week. But this is a very competitive game. And no matter how much experience or accolades I have in my other life, my other professional life, in this area of speaking, I'm new. I'm a baby. I'm just getting started. So there's a humility that I have is like, yo, damn, like, you know, when I put my videos up, I would love to see millions of views. I see at best a few hundred. And I'm like, when is this table gonna turn? So for anybody who is thinking about switching careers or you're thinking about, you know, why is it taking so long? I would just tell you because I've been through this again and again and again in my life. Keep the faith. That's understand right. That God doesn't even give you a dream. This is something that the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield said, and I love it. He said, God doesn't even give you a dream. if you don't have the capacity to fulfill it. So if you have a dream in you, no matter how outrageous it might seem, no matter who believes in you or believes in it, God would not even plant that seed in your head if you did not have the capacity to fulfill it. Wow. So even me, who is starting from the bottom on this new journey of mine, many days I'm frustrated. Many days I sit and think to myself, damn, I'm sure I have more to offer than some of the other people who are doing this who are so successful. But I got to humble myself, I got to stay faithful, and I got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Like Jose said, you just can't stop. Every day, even when there's nothing to do, find something that is going to put you one step closer to your dream. Just one step. And even, you know, and I'll end it here because I don't want to be long-winded with it, but myself and Jose met because another good friend of mine from the Bronx, I'm talking to him and I'm just like, I would just love to meet somebody who's doing this, you know, because I, you know, I want to be inspired and I want to understand their story. How did they crack the code? How did they start speaking? And he was like, yo, you know what? I, my wife's sister-in-law or something is married to a motivational speaker. He introduced me to Jose a few months ago. But again, those, if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, you keep doing something, even if you don't know what to do, just do something. God is going to keep opening these doors. And here we are, Jose and myself speaking, and it's just one more chance for me to do something that I love and gets me a little closer to my dreams. So I'm sure if I can do it, whoever's out there who's listening and you're doubting yourself, you can do it. I mean, it's as simple as that. It, you know, we all have the capacity to do something great. Just trust, never give up on the faith, and keep putting one step, one foot in front of the other.
There you have it, family. Man, I have to admit, brother, this has been one of the most amazing interviews that I've done to date. It's definitely in my top three. It has to be in my top three because you dropped so many nuggets, man, and just so much authenticity, man. And that's one of the things about me that people love is that authenticity. And that's what I love about you, my brother, is your authenticity, your humility, because you're not afraid to start from the bottom and work up. You know what I mean? And so, guys, for those of you that are listening, make sure you tune in. Make sure you follow Sean Prez. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with because if you look at his track record, he trailblazes everything. And now that he's into this new industry, listen, I'm going to be on the lookout. But listen, I ain't scared of you, bro. but joking aside, man, you know, you can see his track record. His work ethic is impeccable, and he crushes everything he puts his hand to touch. You know, everything he touches prospers, you know. So keep a lookout for him. Sean Prez, if people want to know more about you or if they want to get in touch with you, maybe they need marketing and promotions and they just want to, you know, reach out to you to do business with you or just find out more about you, where can they find more information about you?
I'm very easy to get in touch with across all platforms. It's Power Moves Prez. That's, you know, my company from day one, Power Moves. So that's P-O-W-E-R, M as in man, O-V-E-S, Prez, my last name, P-R-E-Z. So Power Move Prez, that's on YouTube, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's across all platforms. So if you hit me there, I always hit everyone back.
There you have it, folks. Sean Prez, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for both of us because I'm pretty sure pretty soon, somewhere in the near future, we're going to be doing something together. So be on the lookout. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with us today. Sean, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to hang out with us as well and dropping so many gems and some wisdom and knowledge to my audience and viewers. I appreciate you, my brother. And listen, guys, until next week, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires360.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.